We're going to be in Acts chapter 9. Y'all can talk tonight if y'all want. If you can get a word in edgewise. So, tell you about myself a little bit. I grew up on the South Side. I was the sixth of a Catholic family. I went to San Jose Mission as a kid. They started coming after me in that bus, and I'd go play football and never go. But anyway, when I was 20, I was reading the book of Romans because the girl I was dating, who ended up being my wife, my mother-in-law gave me this big black Bible, and she quoted all these verses from Romans. So I started reading Romans. Romans 10:13 says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I called upon the name of the Lord, and I was saved. I went forward at the Wesatch Avenue Baptist Church, and they said, "You need to be baptized." I said, "Look, I don't want to go to hell, but I sure don't want to be a Baptist." So those were very finesse people. So for 4 months, the pastor said, "There's one young man that says he's a believer but will not be baptized." The more he said that, the madder I got. Then I was reading in Acts later on after I finished Romans. Acts, the Ethiopian eunuch, the Baptists are right about baptism. So I had to go to him and say, "If you got the aquarium ready, I'm ready to go." But, you know, think about our testimony. We're looking at Acts 9 and the testimony of the Apostle Paul, who I believe was the greatest Christian that ever lived. And, you know, Cody, and I'm going to brag on him a little bit, he's always witnessing to folks, and he uses his testimony. So I want us to think about our testimony a little bit, and it really, just a couple of minutes, maybe a minute or two, you know, talk about your life before you became a believer. Now, mine was, I didn't care about anything but sports and girls, not necessarily in that order. My life had no purpose or meaning. And I got saved how? Reading the book of Romans, Romans 10:13. And then you tell them how you got saved, and then you talk about your new life, right? Now, Don Cass taught me CWT, a place some of y'all probably don't know, Castle Hills Baptist Church, okay? And Brother Don said that he was pastoring back in the early 70s, and it was popular to get these folks that God had delivered from drugs to give their testimony. And he said he got the biggest ex-drug guy in the whole United States. So they were sitting in his office, and he said, "Well, how long do you talk about the heroin and the drugs?" And the guy said, "About 35 minutes. And Don said, "Well, how much do you talk about your new life?" "About a minute." Right? But when you give a testimony and a witnessing experience, it's really a short thing, right? You tell them, "Hey, I was needy, I received the Lord, and now I'm changed. God has made a difference. Mine is my life has purpose and meaning. My purpose is to tell other people about Christ." So, look in the text in Acts. I like Acts. I think Acts is the Acts of the Holy Spirit building the church. Right? Somebody quote for me Acts 1:8. Just give me a quote. You can read it or you can quote it. Say it loud so the recording will get you. Acts 1:8. Somebody read that for me. That's what happened, you know. And the title of this is Peter the Miracle Worker. And really, Peter couldn't do a card trick without the Holy Spirit, right? So the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit lives in your heart and your life, right? There's going to be some folks in Acts 19, they say, "Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed?" They said, "We not so much as ever heard of the Holy Spirit." We have to have the Holy Spirit, isn't that right? So Peter, the thing about Peter is he tended to be a little bit extremish. He denied the Lord, cussed with the little girl. He, you know, "I'll never deny you," and yet he denied him. But as far as I know, Peter next to Jesus has a record of walking on water, right? He got out there and walked on the water, and then we started looking on himself, away from the Holy Spirit, away from God's power. He fell. They say Bear Bryant walked on water, but I had a coach that said that Bear Bryant only knew where the steps were, right? But Peter at Caesarea Philippi, right? It's sort of the Quinnipiac people called me back at the other election, and it was a recording. I tried to call them back. They wouldn't let me give my opinion. But Jesus said, "Who do men say that I am?" And Peter said, "Well, some say you're Elijah. Some say you're Jeremiah. Some say you're one of the prophets." Jesus said, "Peter, who do you say that I am?" "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said, on this rock I'll build my church. Brother Robert, I like this. A little wordplay in Greek. Peter, you're a little stone. On your faith in the big rock of me, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And the text goes on to say that flesh and blood didn't do that, right? So let's look at the text where we're going. And we've seen the tremendous transformation of the Apostle Paul, right? They were scared of the Apostle Paul. He's a murderer. He was a Christian killer, right? There's another Ananias earlier on that says, hey, this guy prays. The folks were like, man, this guy will kill us, right? And, you know, Barnabas was there. I love Barnabas, name encourager. Barnabas said, this man has found the Lord. Now, as Brother Robert says, Paul's missing for 3 years in the chronological order, right? Now, Cody, he wasn't at Southwestern living at Fort Worth Hall. He was in Arabia with God. But there is that three years where Paul is with God in a fellowship manner. So let's look at the text today in Acts 9, and we're going to pick up, look at verse 31 back, what Robert did. And the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. It multiplied. So the church in the beginning is Jewish, now Samaritans, half Jew, half Gentile. Brother Judd knows a lot about Samaritans. I heard him in a Wednesday night. It was really good. But these were the hated people of the time because they were half Gentile and half Jewish. So that's where the gospel has spread so far. But the gospel brings peace. Y'all get that? When Jesus sent out the 70, he said, go to that house and say, peace be to that house. What that means is that when we lead somebody to Christ, the Holy Spirit moves in their life, they're washed in the blood, and they have peace with God. God the Father adopts them. That's enough to make a Presbyterian shout hallelujah, right? I mean, that's cool. That's great. So the church was growing, and then we start our text in verse 32. And now, as Peter went here and there among them all, isn't that cool the way it says that? Peter was just moving here and there. The Great Commission, go make disciples, baptizing them. So he's going to and fro, moving around. And he came down also to the saints who lived at Lydda. So he's going, he meets this group of saints there at Lydda. And there he found a man named Ananias. Now this is not the same Ananias earlier. The reason I know that is because it's spelled differently. You know, Ananias is a common name. Somebody tell me there's another Ananias later on in Scripture. Can y'all get that? A little Bible trivia. Y'all remember Ananias and Sapphira? They run into a little trouble there. They sold some property and they gave it to the church. That's good, the Lord. But they lied about it, right? It wasn't a good thing. So this man Ananias, he's been bedridden for 8 years and was paralyzed. Now the way the text says this certain man Ananias, he's a non-believer. He's paralyzed. There's nothing they can do for him, right? Nothing the medical people of the time can do. And Peter said to him, Ananias, Jesus Christ heals you. Rise and make your bed. Wow, isn't that cool? So Peter says to him, Ananias, in the power of Jesus, you're not going to be paralyzed anymore, right? Now, do I believe God can heal today? Yes, right? But you understand the apostles had the gift of healing because the Jews were looking for a sign, right? The Jews seek after a sign. The Greeks seek after wisdom. So the apostles had these sign gifts. They could speak in tongues. They could heal the sick. They could raise the dead. Now, one of the reasons they did that certainly is because the Jews were looking for these miracles. And the miracles were to point people to Christ. Now, today, we have the Bible, right? So if some guy goes over to the Alamo Dome and another guy goes over to the AT&T Center, which one's of God? Well, we can look at the Bible, right? Check them out. The canon of Scripture is complete. We have it. But in that time, the miraculous power was a sign that God was there. It was really God. So Peter says, Ananias, Make up your bed. Jesus said, take up your bed and walk. They walk, right? Take up your bed and walk. Rise. Make your bed. Immediately he rose, and all the residents of Lydda and Sharon saw him, and they turned to the Lord. That's wonderful, isn't that right? The reason that God does miracles, certainly in the time of Acts, is so that people would believe. Remember in Acts 6 when they were having trouble with the Grecian widows, and they solved the problem. They called those seven men, Philip and Stephen and those other ones, and they were neglecting the Grecian widows. And the Bible says that because of that, because they handled that correctly, that many of the, even the priests became obedient to the faith. So Peter is there, and he tells this man, in the name of the Lord Jesus, in the power of Jesus, right? There are a lot of folks, sometimes I watch some of this stuff on television, and I hear some weird things about the Holy Spirit, right? I mean, I hear the Holy Spirit alluded to in strange ways. And somebody says, the preacher says, well, if you'll send me $1,000, I'll heal your blood pressure, right? I'll heal your A1C. But see, the real deal is the real deal. He's doing it in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Peter, God uses Peter to heal this man. Peter's not the miracle worker. God's the miracle worker, right? Peter's a vessel. Think about it. You've seen the movie. Some of y'all read the book. Remember the miracle worker, right? Patty Duke was Helen Keller, right? And Ann Sullivan was Anne Bancroft. And they did that as a play. And when folks went to see that play on Broadway, they couldn't believe it because it was so physical. We call that physicality today. We have that word, right? But they couldn't believe there was such a fight between them, right? So Ann Sullivan was healed by doctors. She was blind. And Helen Keller was blind, deaf. She could not, because of the error of a doctor. But Ann Sullivan went. Mr. Keller was a very rich newspaper man in Alabama, and he hired Ann Sullivan to try to help Helen because Helen was crazy, right? She was messy, right? She'd throw food at you. Hope they're not having meatloaf because she's going to throw it at you, right? But remember in the movie, Ann Sullivan lived, she kept trying to help her, and they said, don't help her. She does whatever she wants. And for months, she tried to teach Helen Keller the alphabet, right? She spelled out, spell out the alphabet. And they were going to fire her. The mother said, you know, you can't treat her like that. You can't make her do what she doesn't want to do. And the father was ready to ship her out. And she said, let me have just one chance, one more chance. So she moved in, Helen Keller, to a little guest house, right? Months went by. Spelling that, she couldn't get it. They fought. Like cats and dogs, physical stuff. And then one day at the pump, the water came out, and she spelled out water. And Helen, who had a great mind, God had given her a great mind, she spelled it back, water, water. Ann Sullivan says, after that breakthrough, Helen would just walk around and say, and start spelling things out, right? Months of all that alphabet. Beloved, when the Holy Spirit came upon the church, God's power exploded. Isn't that right? And we have that power. I was sharing with a guy at the Home Depot, right? I have a lot of weaknesses, but one is UT, not Indiana. My brother was a policeman in Austin in the 60s, and I had a bench pass. So I bleed the orange. It is a sin. I understand. This fella had some UT stuff on, and I had a UT. I said, I see. I hope they're going to be better. And he said, and a man in maroon, an Aggie, walked by, right? And he said, there's your enemy. You hate that man. And Brother Cody, I said, no, God loves Aggies. And I said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him, even Aggies, should not perish but have everlasting life. This man, he laughed, right? But he was a believer. He said he went to Concordia. I invited him to Sunday school and all that. But God gives us all those opportunities. The Holy Spirit does the work, right? I got an email that said that Brother Robert was going to do the heavy lifting in event. The Holy Spirit does the heavy lifting, right? Because the Holy Spirit quickens. The Holy Spirit illuminates the Word of God. Jesus does the redeeming on the cross. And the Father adopts us. Isn't that cool? It takes the triune Godhead to save me. Somebody from the south side of San Antonio. So Peter heals this man. And it's for the glory of God. And the church was thrilled, right? Now, that little church in Damascus, they must have prayed that when Paul was Saul and he was killing Christians, he was a terrorist, he was the Osama bin Laden of his day. That little church of Damascus, oh God, strike him dead. Strike Saul dead. Well, God struck him, but he struck him alive. Isn't that right? By the way, I'm getting ahead of this, right? Jesus broke up every funeral he ever went to, right? Lazarus, come forth. And the whole graveyard would have emptied. But he called him by name, right? So, Peter heals this man, Ananias, through the power of Jesus Christ for the purpose of lifting up this church, for the purpose of spreading the gospel. Because the gospel, Acts 1:8, the gospel's got to go to Judea and to Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. We got to get to the south side of San Antonio, right? I taught the book of Acts in Zambia. The gospel's in Zambia, isn't that right? When Billy Graham went to the Soviet Union, a lot of people criticized, said, those people are communists, you don't need to go over there. But he wasn't going over there to talk politics. He was preaching the Lord, right? But we learned that there was a church there, right? The church was strong. The politics is awful in China. They're communists, but there's Christians over there, right? The church, women are finding the Lord in Iran. Why? Because of the power of the Holy Spirit of God. So, Peter is used here. And then, Ananias is healed. And then, Dorcas is restored to life. Look on with me, verse 36. And there was in Joppa a disciple named Tabitha, which translation means Dorcas. Now, I looked this up because, you know, Brother Robert, he's doing all these Greek words. I didn't do well in Greek, right? Sometimes when Brother Robert's good on those Greek words, I feel like he's going to ask me to translate something. I coached a little high school football back in the day, but Bill Parcells was always, he was over there at Texas Tech. That's part of Texas, but it's not part of the United States. But anyway, he was coaching defense over there. And when Bill Parcells was coaching the Cowboys, they asked him if he was afraid of his upcoming opponent, right? And Bill Parcells could be a little salty, right? He said, I ain't afraid of nothing but spiders, snakes, and the IRS. I'm afraid of the IRS and being called on in Greek class. But this word is actually not a Hebrew word. It's an Aramaic word. It means gazelle, right? It means grace. Dorcas or Tabitha. There was a sitcom back in the 60s. Some of y'all weren't alive because y'all are young. But y'all remember that sitcom where the name Tabitha was used? What was the name of it? There you go, right? So, this girl, Tabitha or Dorcas. Now, I pastored a few churches, and I had one where they had the Dorcas class. They ran about 25 in there. And they had, Brother Cody, they had really nice pads on the chairs, right? I went in there and prayed with them ladies every Sunday morning, okay? That was where the power of the Holy Spirit, right? So, Tabitha, Dorcas, Peter goes, and it says that she was full of good works and acts of charity. And in those days, she became ill and died. So she was a good believer, loved the Lord, did good things. And she died. And when they had washed her, they laid her in the upper room. Now, wait a minute. So, Orthodox Judaism, when somebody dies, they bury them, right? I mean, that's where we get, that's why we take Bill Miller's to people when somebody dies, because the food is, the kosher food, it's defiled. Y'all don't do that over here? We take Bill Miller's to people, right, when somebody dies. So, they're violating some protocol here. But this little church, they're full of the Holy Spirit, right? So they're not going to bury her. They're going to pray that God would send somebody to take her back to life, right? Lester Roloff used to say, I don't give up on anybody till they've been dead 3 days, right? Now, that's a great text. One of my favorite passages in John 11, Brother Robert did it a while back. But remember Martha and Mary and Lazarus? And Lazarus dies, and I think Martha just really kind of sings it to him, Lord, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. And they go through a whole long deal. And Martha says, yeah, I know, and the sweet by and all that. And Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life, right? And then, I love this verse, she says, Lord, by now he stinketh. But he's been dead 3 days. But Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And he would, Brother Tex, he was a mummy. And Jesus said, unleash him. Let him go. He's going, right? He raised the dead. Only God can do that, right? Only God can do that. I went witnessing with a fellow one time back in my old neighborhood in San Antonio on Military Drive, my old hangout, and there were just people all over the place on Military Drive. And we would go to these people and witness to them, and then the police would come, and anybody that was violating the law, they'd take to jail. But this fellow, he went to a church where he said everybody in his church spoke in tongues. So I said, well, how many people can raise the dead? He said, none. Well, I said, that's a little suspect to me, right? But these apostles, they had the sign gifts. They could raise the dead. Jesus raised the dead. He lived the perfect life. He made blinded eyes to see, deaf ears to hear, turned water into wine. Brother Tex, he got tax money out of a fish. Now, if you can do that, that's cool. Y'all aren't looking like you're getting this done. Stay with me now, okay? Stay with me. So, Dorcas is there, and Dorcas is dead, and they wash her, and they laid her in an upper room. And since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, hearing that Peter was there, sent two men to him, urging him, please come to us without delay. So they're gonna page Peter and get him involved in this, right? There's a girl that was a good, fine believer that died, and she's laid out. And then in verse 39, and then Peter rose up and went with them. And when he arrived, they took him to the upper room. He gets there, they're ready, man. This is the guy we need. Peter's coming. I've already heard about Ananias, right? So all the widows stood beside him weeping and showing tunics and other garments that Dorcas made. This is a sad thing, right? Funerals are sad, right? I mean, the Jewish people, they would hire professional mourners. When I do funerals, it's like a Billy Graham crusade. I share the gospel. People have criticized that. I'll try to talk about the person in my illustrations, but I say, you want someone to get a eulogy, get someone else, right? It's a time when people are listening. They're listening. So, they're all in funeral mode. They're all crying, and look what she made. She made this. This is very sad. It is. We do miss people, isn't that right? But if they're believers, they went to heaven. Remember David, King David? He lost that little baby, and that was, you know, that he sinned. He murdered. And David said, I can't bring that baby back. I'll go to him. Right? But here, they're all in the funeral mode. They're all in mourning. So Peter is there, and he went, and all of this drama is going on, right? And Dorcas, while she was with them, but Peter put them all outside. Peter's like, hey, get back. Get out. Get out, please. I hope you didn't hurt anybody's feelings, right? Take those garments with y'all, too. I need some room, right? I need some room. And Peter put them all outside. And he knelt down and prayed, turning to the body, and he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. That must have been cool, right? She opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand. And he raised her up. And then calling the saints and the widows, he presented her alive. He said, "Hey, y'all, I'm sorry I ran y'all off. Look. Look what God did. Look what God did. This is a God. I'm going to tell you this. I believe all the miracles in the Bible. Some of the German higher critics, they'll go further to say that it wasn't a miracle. They'll say it wasn't the Red Sea, it was the Reed Sea where they crossed, right? Some preacher said, you know, if the German higher critics said the water was only this deep, well, he drowned a million-man army of the Egyptians. That was a bigger miracle with the 1 foot of water, right? I believe all the miracles in the Bible, right? Adrian Rogers wrote a book called Believe in Miracles, but Trust in Jesus, right? So, but the greatest miracle is when a sinner receives Jesus. Because we deserve hell. It could be a seven-year-old vacation Bible school kid. That's the greatest miracle. That's the greatest miracle. So he presents her to these folks. This wasn't in the bulletin. I had a fellow that prayed, "Lord, do something not in the bulletin today." We don't even have a bulletin because of COVID. We're still doing all right, right? So she's alive. He called the saints and presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And he stayed in Joppa for many days with one Simon, a tanner. Man, I went past my outline. So she's brought back to life. She was dead, but the power of God brought her to life. The grace of God flowed. She's a trophy of grace. And every person that's been born again, every person that once was lost, but now they're saved, they're a miracle. They're walking, talking miracles. And I love Cody uses a testimony. You know, they can't refute your testimony. It happened to you. It happened to you. It happened to me. So she's brought, she returns to life. Jesus came for life. The devil came to steal and to kill. Jesus came to give us life and more abundant life. So she's brought back to life. And then the gospel goes on. The gospel goes forward. It says that everybody heard, everybody understood, many believed on the Lord. You keep seeing that in Acts, right? The boldness of the saints, the many believed, more people were added to the church. And then Peter does something strange. He goes and he stays in Joppa for many days in Simon's home, and Simon's a tanner. Uh-oh. Now, it was considered dead animals? No. Probably Simon was not allowed to go to the synagogue. You know, the shepherds were the only ones that got the Christmas thing right, right? The wise men were a couple years late, right? They had a star. But the shepherds, they heard and they told, right? But those shepherds probably more than likely were denied the temple, certainly, probably the synagogue, because they were unclean. Do we have a lot of things in Baptist life that are traditions that don't have anything to do with the Word of God? You heard the story that a mother is there, and she's making roast, and she's showing her daughter how to make the roast. And she takes the roast, and she cuts a section of the roast. And the daughter says, "What are you doing? Why are you doing that?" I said, "Well, my mother did that." So let's go ask. They went and asked her. And the mother said, "Well, I don't know. My mother did." They went to assisted living to the grandmother, great-grandmother. They said, "Why'd you cut that?" She said, "Well, the pan was too small." Beloved, we're missing some roast here, right? So Peter's going to go And he's going to, like the woman, like Jesus with the woman at the well, Jed, he's going to violate a whole lot of cultural norms when he reaches out to this woman at the well. And Jesus, Peter is going to go stay with Simon the tanner. And Peter, Brother Rob's going to do this, and he's probably going to do what I did again, I bet. Over and under is about 12 minutes on that. But he's going to listen, so I know. Somebody's getting it, right? So the thing is, Peter's going to go to the Gentiles in chapter 10, Cornelius, right? And that way he can go to the south side, right? And to Zambia and to Indonesia, to the uttermost parts of the earth. Years ago, I used to go to this pastor's conference in Jacksonville, Florida, and they would always have Adrian Rogers there. And one night, it was a Sunday night, and Brother Cody, it was about 4.5 hours Sunday night. I had to take a bathroom break. But Adrian Rogers got up to preach, and he told the story, there was this fella in 1880. This fella was sitting at a fire, campfire, and he had some bacon sizzling and some coffee there. And he said this fella came out of the woods. This fella grabbed a rattlesnake and jumped up on a grizzly bear and put the rattlesnake around, and he rode up. And he said, "Can I have some of that?" And the man said, "Knock yourself out." And he took that bacon, hot bacon, and he just... And he took the coffee and just poured. And the man with the camp said, "Can you sit a while? I'd like to visit." And the man said, "I can't. There's a bad man coming after me. There's a bad man coming after me. Brother Robert's going to clear all this up for y'all, right?" So, the thing about this, the gospel goes forward. The gospel moves. The work of the Holy Spirit building the church. Great churches aren't built on great preaching. Good preaching helps, right? But great churches are built on a love for God, a love for the Word of God, and a love for people. You got to love the people that are saved. Listen to me. There's only two kind of people in the world today. People God has saved and people God wants to save. There's one race. I've got the first three chapters of Genesis. There's one race. We have different skin pigmentations because of the Tower of Babel. We need to get back to the Word of God. And I'm preaching to the choir because this church, this brother can preach the Word of God, right? I think this is a time to lead a whole bunch of people to the Lord. We ought to have 3 services with 1,000 people, right? To hear the Word of God. To hear. 2 Corinthians, the gospel is a treasure in a clay pot, a earthen vessel, a human vessel, right? To hear the gospel, that Jesus Christ, who always was God, in a virgin birth became a man, made blinded eyes to see, deaf ears to hear, raised the dead, turned water into wine. He died on the cross. He shed His blood. We don't know how many times they beat Him. Isaiah says that it pleased the Lord to bruise Him, that all our iniquity was laid upon Him. By His stripes we are healed. We don't know how many times they beat Him. They took the cat of nine tails and they ripped into His side. Many times when they used the cat of nine tail, that person would not be, need to be crucified because would die. He was beaten. Isaiah says He wasn't even humanly recognizable. They tried to make Him carry that cross up that hill. He couldn't do it. Simon the Cyrene, a black man, had to carry the cross for Him. But listen, Simon carried it, and they put Jesus on that cross, and they drove nails in His flesh. And He said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." As that hot sun burned Him, He said, "I thirst." They took a spear. When He said, "It is finished," Greek word, tetelestai, "the debt is paid." They took a spear and they thrust it through His side. Water and blood poured out. He died, right? They put Him in a borrowed tomb, but on the third day, He split that grave wide open. He's alive. He was seen by 500 people at one time, by all the disciples for 40 days. He ate. Isn't that, I like that. Baptists hope we eat in heaven, right? Won't be any cholesterol issues there, right? What also scares me is getting behind Baptist preachers that say the Golden Corral, but they might wipe out all the food. But he ate fish and honeycomb there. He made it, right? He ascended into heaven 40 days after the resurrection. What did he say? All authority is given unto me. He laid aside some of his glory in order to die for our sins. He came the first time as a suffering servant to die for our sins. Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. He's coming again as a Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's coming as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's coming for the church, right? I believe He's coming. We don't need to rebuild the temple. Don't send the preacher any money on television. Get right here to Park Hills, right? But one day, the Lord is going to come and take out all the real believers, the true believers. And then this world's going to go through a horrible 7 years of tribulation. Those first 3.5 years is going to be a pseudo peace because the Antichrist is going to be there. We're going to be with the Lord in heaven. We're going to be caught up. I heard Jerry Vines said that there was two ladies at the hospital, and Jerry Vines came to visit them, and they said, "Preacher, we were just talking about the rupture of the church." And Dr. Vines said, "No, it's a rapture. It's a catching away, right? Jesus is coming. Let's win everybody we can. You don't want to be left behind. I wish I'd have wrote those books, Left Behind. You don't want to be left behind." I'm through in about 3 minutes. Stay with me. O.S. Hawkins, pastor of the First Baptist Church in Dallas, and he was president of the Nudie Board. He just retired. But O.S. Hawkins, I sort of can relate to him because he was raised on the south side of Fort Worth by the seminary, poor area of Fort Worth. My mother was raised there in Fort Worth, right by the seminary. And he said his mother would go every day to buy groceries for their evening meal. And O.S. Hawkins said at age 11, y'all remember the S&H green stamps? Well, he saw in the catalog there was a professional baseball glove. It took 30 books. And his mother said, "Son, every day that I bring the groceries, you can take the stamps." Took months. Finally, he got 30 books, right? They went down to a little strip mall. First time he said he'd ever seen the two words together, it said this. It said, "Redemption Center." Redemption Center. He said he took those 30 books. His dad walked in with him, and he put those 30 books on the counter, and he had that catalog, and he showed him that, "I want that baseball club." He said that man looked at those books, and he looked at every stamp, it seemed like. It took a long time. Counted them all. He went back, and he brought this box. And O.S. Hawkins said he took that box, he took it in the car, and he ripped it. It was a professional baseball glove. He said it was precious. He put neat's foot oil. He got a ball, and he tied it. He slept with that glove. Beloved, when Jesus went to the cross, it was the Redemption Center. And he paid more expensive than 30 books, more expensive than anything in the Neiman Marcus catalog. He shared his royal crimson blood. The Bible says that we are not redeemed by silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Listen, he redeemed us with his own blood. That is incredible. Andre Crouch, that great saint of God, he put it this way. "Oh, the blood, I won't sing for y'all. Might mess up the tape. Oh, the blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary. The blood that will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain. It flows to the lowest valley. Oh, the blood that gives me strength today. It will never lose its power." Let's go tomorrow in the power of the blood of the Lamb. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for our pastor that every week, every Wednesday, every Sunday opens up your word. And wherever he is, we pray you touch him with. Just let him, Father, have rest. We thank you for Miss Ruth. Bless her. Just bring them back strong. And Lord, we thank you for all the folks that visited. We thank you for Jed as he shared the word of God this past Sunday. And Lord, give us somebody to witness to tomorrow, Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for this little time you've given me with these sweet saints of God. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. You can turn the recording off. Yes, sir.